प्रपन्नपारिजाताय धोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। हरे कृष्णा। वेलकम बैक टू द भगवद्गीता भक्तिशास्त्री कोर्स। वी आर नाउ इन द 18th चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद्गीता। लेट्स लुक एट व्हाट इज हैपनिंग इन दिस चैप्टर। आफ्टर दैट ओवरव्यू विल गो इनटू द वर्सेस। सो हियर वी आर डिस्कसिंग द सेक्शन ऑन the jnana of the karma yogi, how the karma yogi can situate oneself in detachment, without attachment, while doing action, by understanding the three modes of material nature with respect to their correlation with the various elements of action. So in the jnana karma cha karta cha, that was what was mentioned in verse 19, and that is what is discussed in the subsequent 9 verses. 20 to 28 talk about first jnana, then karma, and then karta. Now 29th verse will be another transition verse where the further elements of action will be mentioned, and those elements will be analyzed in the subsequent verses, that is 30 onwards till 39. So there will be analysis of buddhi, dhriti, and sukha. So let's look at these verses. So 18.29, buddher bhedam dhriteshchaiva gunatastrividham shrunu prochyamanam asheshena prithaktvena dhananjaya. Buddher bhedam dhriteshchaiva. So buddher bhedam dhriti. So bheda means to differentiation, analysis, categorization. So bhedam gunatastrividham, in terms of three modes, the bheda of what? Buddhi and dhriti. Shrunu, Arjuna, please hear. Prochyamanam asheshena. So I am going to speak it to you in detail. So the asheshena can mean, in one sense it means that with nothing left, exhaustively. Asheshena can also mean in detail. So pruthaktvena dhananjaya, in terms of the difference. So basically, Krishna is telling, now I'll describe buddhi and dhruti. So there will be another transition verse where he will talk about sukha. We'll come to that sukha when we, that will be, he'll mark it in the 36th verse. So now, why specifically buddhi and dhruti are being singled out for discussion? Earlier, Krishna has been talking about action in different terms. So first he talked about in terms of jnana, karma, and karta. These are the elements of action with respect to what all we perceive in the world. When we have to act, first of all we perceive what is happening in the world. After we perceive what is happening in the world, then we decide how we want to act. That is karma. And then while we are doing a particular action, then there is the person who is doing that action. That person is affected by the modes in different ways. Now apart from that, when we are acting, then there is buddhi and dhruti, which is also involved. Buddhi is more in terms of, is translated as intelligence. The difference between knowledge and intelligence, Prabhupada explains in a 10th chapter purport, as well as in his other references, in his other talks, that intelligence, knowledge is often theoretical, whereas intelligence means to see things in their proper perspective. Intelligence means to see things in their proper perspective. That means when I am supposed to act, how should I act? What should I do? What should I not do? And we will see that differentiation. We will compare jnana and buddhi. And we will understand that jnana is more in terms of perception, buddhi is more in terms of action. And then there is dhruti. Dhruti means this determination. So once I understand, okay, this is how I should be acting, then I not only should have the intelligence to be able to perceive how I should be acting, but afterwards I have to have the consistency, the persistence. So without that, we will not be able to go on. So for successful action in this world, we need both determination and we need intelligence and determination. So let's look at both of these, intelligence and determination. So first is intelligence. Krishna will talk about the intelligence in the three modes from the next verse onwards. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha karya karye bhaya bhaye bandham moksham cha yaveti buddhi sa partha satviki. So pravrittim cha nivrittim cha, that there is pravritti and there is nivritti. That means there are actions to be done and there are actions not to be done. Actions to be avoided. This pravritti and nivritti has been talked about several times. In the 16th chapter also Krishna talks about pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidura asuraha. So there in 16.7 he mentions that those who are demoniac, they don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. So pravrittim cha nivrittim cha karya karye bhaya bhaye karya akarya. So now pravritti and nivritti is more in terms of inclinations. Karya and akarya is more in terms of actions. That means these are things specifically I should do, I should not do. And pravritti nivritti are more in terms of generic inclinations. Karya karya is more specific. And bhaya abhaye. Now bhaya abhaya. That means what should be feared and what should not be feared. Bandham moksham jayaveti buddhi sapar satviki. One understands what is the cause of bondage and what is the cause of liberation. So here Krishna uses the bhaya abhaye. That which is to be feared and that which is not to be feared. That which causes, that which is. Now, in one sense, what does it mean that is to be feared and that is not to be feared? Actually, there is healthy fear and there is unnecessary fear. So healthy fear means a child has to have some fear of, say, fire or knife or live electric wire. If the child doesn't have that fear, then the child may wound himself or herself. So if that is to be avoided, a healthy fear has to be cultivated. On the other hand, we may have fear of certain things, and that fear may be undesirable. Now, a child, when it's growing, child may have fear about going to school. No, but that is it's a normal part of growing up that a person has to learn to go ahead. And when a person starts going to college, when he has to go and stay away from the parents, that also there is fear. But as a part of normal growing up, that fear is to be overcome. Similarly, some people may have fear about practicing spiritual life. You know, if I don't know what is out there in spiritual reality, there are so many people, so many paths. And so one has to use one's intelligence, understand what is the right thing. But eventually, one has to take a leap of faith. So being unduly fearful or being unduly reckless, both are undesirable. Why? Because one needs to be fearful about certain things and not be fearful about certain things. So if one is fearless where one should be fearful and one is fearful where one should be fearless, then one will lose out on opportunities for growth in life. For example, as it is said, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. What does that mean? That means there are certain things where angels also. Angels means people who are very saintly, who are wise, who are close to God. Those people also fear to go because they know it's a dangerous place. So fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So for example, sinful activities. You know, people who are of a godly disposition, they understand getting involved in these activities can be so complex, entangling, that it can destroy a person completely. So one should not get into these activities. So fools rush in where angels fear to tread. But people think that these are very enjoyable activities and they rush into those activities. And that sort of rushing into sinful activities, that may seem to be like in the movies where there are scenes where the protagonist, the hero, heroine, especially the heroine, is scantily dressed. Then that they call it as, people call it as bold scenes. That is not boldness actually, that is blindness. Why is it blindness? Because one is blind to the purpose of life, one is blind to the value of life. And therefore, one doesn't understand what are the consequences of whatever one is doing. Bandham moksham chayaviti, as this last verse says. That discrimination makes us to understand, okay, this particular action may feel good, but what is its long-term consequence going to be? If that long-term consequence is going to be counterproductive, then my getting involved in this activity is undesirable. I shouldn't get involved in this activity. So, bandham moksham chayaviti. So, in this way, Krishna talks of pravritti nivritti, then karya karya, bhaya bhaya abhaya, and bandham moksha. So when one understands this difference properly, that is buddhi in the mode of goodness. Buddhi sapar sattviki. Now to a large extent, the sattviki buddhi comes by study of scripture. Not just study of scripture in terms of theoretical study, but study in terms of transformational study. That means we study the scripture in the association of devotees whose values have been transformed by the study of scripture. By that study, our own consciousness rises from the lower modes towards goodness, and then ultimately beyond goodness towards transcendence. So here, when there is goodness, Krishna has also talked about goodness in 14.11, sarvadware shudehesmin prakasham upajayate. So sarvadvareshu, the dwara refers to the senses. So there are certain things which we should do with our senses, certain things which we should not do. If a door is locked, or a door is dark rather, not lock, it is dark, then outside the door, I might be expecting there is just a continuation, and there might be a stair with steep steps. I just put my foot down and tuck, I just fall down. So if I don't see, if the doorway is not illumined, generally a doorway indicates some sort of change. Okay, maybe there is a house here, and there is a porch to the house there. So when there is a doorway, indicates some kind of transition. And at the point of transition, especially illumination is needed. Illumination, because certain change is going to happen. There's a door, then after the door, maybe the floor is of a different kind, maybe the frequency of people traveling is of a different kind. Maybe there are vehicles outside, and obviously there won't be vehicles inside the house. So most of the time. So therefore, a doorway indicates some kind of transition, some kind of change. And when change happens, actually illumination is required. So similarly, sarvadvareshu dehesmin, Krishna talks about that the senses are like the doorways. The doorways that connect the outer world with the inner world. So we as a soul perceive the world through the senses. So the senses comprise the doorway between the inner world and the outer world. And if this doorway is not illumined, then there is destruction that results because of that. So because it's not illumined, then we make wrong choices. We take wrong turns. We take self-destructive decisions. And the end result of this is that we torment ourselves. We ruin ourselves in many ways. So that what Krishna says is a characteristic of goodness. Prakash, sarvadware sudehesmin prakasham upajayate. Illumination, Krishna has talked about further over here in this verse as the capacity to discriminate, to discern. Now if we go back and look at 18.20, when Krishna has talked about knowledge, so we are trying to now understand the difference between jnana and buddhi. So if you look at what Krishna calls as jnana in sattva, tuguna, so there he describes that sarabhuteshu yenaikam bhavam avyayam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu. So avibhaktam vibhakteshu, one sees that external, there are forms are differentiated. It's male, female, Indian, Pakistani, or American, European, whatever. We see this differentiation, but beyond this differentiation, we see that there is unity. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu. So what is this avibhaktam, that non-differentiated reality? Sarvadbhuteshu dehesmin. Sarvabhuteshu yenaikam bhavam avyam ikshate sarvabhute dehesmin bhavam avyam ikshate. Bhava avyaya. There is the imperishable nature. So that means seeing beyond matter to spirit is knowledge in the mode of goodness. But here, intelligence in the mode of goodness is talked about as referring to understanding what should be done and what should not be done. So that's why we say knowledge, the way Krishna analyzes it, is more in terms of perception. And buddhi is more in terms of action. So let's look at the next verse now. Next will come knowledge in the mode of passion. Ya dharmam adharmam cha karyam cha karyam eva cha yathavat prajanati buddhi sa partha rajasi. So ya dharmam adharmam cha. So there is so what is dharma and what is adharma? Karyam cha karyam eva cha. So Krishna uses the same two words as earlier, karya akarya. So what should be done and what should not be done. Now what is dharma and adharma means? Dharma, what will be the difference between the two? Dharma refers to more again general principles. Karya and karya refers to what we should do, what we should not do. Aithavat prajanati. So ayathavat. So yathavat means correctly. So like the Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is in Hindi is called as Bhagavad Gita Yatharup. Yatharup means as it is. So Yathavat means as it is, correctly. Ayathavat means not properly. So Prajanati. So when one knows, when one doesn't understand clearly what is Dharma and what is Adharma, then that kind of incorrect understanding, that is knowledge, is intelligence in the mode of passion. So for example, say in the, if you consider the Ramayana, many people consider Vibhishan to be a Bhratradrohi. They consider Vibhishan as having is a betrayer of his brother, Ravana. Now actually, it is not that Vibhishan is a betrayer of Ravana, it is that Ravana is a betrayer of the truth, of dharma, of virtue, and ultimately of all living beings, of God. So we have to have a proper frame of reference to understand who is a traitor and who is not a traitor. So Vibhishan is definitely not a traitor, because ultimately all of us are meant to be loyal to the Supreme Lord. So only when we are loyal to the Supreme Lord can we actually return back to the Supreme Lord. So being loyal to the Supreme Lord means that we try adjust and harmonize all our other loyalties in the light of our loyalty to the Supreme Lord. That doesn't mean that we have to give up the loyalties of this world, but we have to have our priorities clear. Krishna also makes it very clear, sarvadharmān parityajamāmekam śaraṇam vraja. Give up all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. So ayathāvat prajānāti. When one doesn't know what is dharma, what is not dharma, then that is knowledge in the mode of passion. So, of course, Ravana as a Rakshasa was in the mode of passion and ignorance. And there are people who are followers of Ravana, and they consider, you know, Ravana to be a good person. And they consider Vibhishan to be a bad person because Vibhishan betrayed Ravana. So this is quite a perversity of the values of the scripture. So ayathavat prajanati, when one does not understand properly what is scripture, what is to be, what is karyam cha karyam, what is to be done, what is not to be done, when one doesn't understand properly, that is in the mode of passion. So there is knowledge, but that knowledge is contaminated. So because of this contamination of knowledge, one thinks that the long term, for example, becoming liberated from material existence is not as important as the short term. What is short term? Short term is either pleasure in this world by whatever means is possible, or it is, say, pleasure by going to heavens. So for to consider karma kanda, that is dharma, artha and kama, to consider karma kanda to be more important than bhakti, that is a mistake. And that mistake is because people don't recognize what is the ultimate reality. And the ultimate reality is that we are all meant to return back to Krishna, to be with him forever. And that is the only way to real happiness. And this, all our actions have to be chosen according to that ultimate priority. So when the ayathava, the incomplete knowledge, then because of the incomplete knowledge, sometimes that which is a lower principle is made into a higher principle. And that which is a higher principle is neglected as a lower principle. So this kind of thing happens when there is mode of passion. So because in the mode of passion, one thinks of matter and material things to be extremely important. So we discussed in mode of passion, and there is knowledge also. What happens is, in the mode of passion, nana bhavan prithak vidhan, that as Krishna mentions in 18.21, that nana bhavan, that one sees the different bodies, and when one sees different bodies, one thinks this is different, these represent different inner natures, these represent different inner souls. So that idea, in the mode of passion, there is too much emphasis on externals, and because of this emphasis on externals, one is not able to see internals. And what are the internals? Those internals can be seen, the internal is ultimately the soul's awareness of spiritual reality, and ultimately soul's relationship with Krishna. So all this is not adequate, it is incorrect in many ways, ayathavat prajanati, in the mode of passion. Now let us look at knowledge in the mode of, intelligence in the mode of ignorance. Thavat prajanati buddhesa partha sattvike adharmam dharmam itiya manyate tamasavrita sarvartha viparitaanscha buddhi sa partha tamasi adharmam dharmam itiya. So to consider adharma to be dharma, manyate tamasavrita, tamasavrita, one who is covered by ignorance. A person who avrita means covered, and a person is sarvarthan viparitamshcha. Such a person is on a viparit. Viparit means opposite. So sarvarthan viparitamshcha. Such a person goes towards things opposite to what they actually are. That means the person considers that which is dharma to be adharma, and a person considers adharma to be dharma. So, for example, one striking example of this viparitamshcha, sarvarthan viparitamshcha, of going complete opposite of reality, that we common example we see in the way people consider God to be an ordinary person, and they consider an ordinary person to be God. So when Krishna himself descends to this world, people consider that, oh, Krishna is not God. Actually, Krishna is an extraordinary person, or maybe some person who had some extraordinary powers, some magical powers or whatever, a skilled diplomat. That's what people try to reduce Krishna's glory down to the material level, and in contrast, people try to raise their own glory to a higher level. Higher level means now either their own glory or the glory of their pet guru, where they think, oh, this is my favorite guru. So just like some people have pets, you pat the pet. So like that, some people have gurus, and my pet guru, I make him into a god. So Prabhupada would call this as double insanity. That is, one insanity is for someone to claim to be God, and the greater insanity is for other people to accept that person is God. So this is an example of sarvarthan viparitamishcha. That which is a reality, one cannot understand that to be the reality. So this is buddhi saparth tamasi. This is tamasi. Now it's not that people who are in tamasi intelligence necessarily need to have tamasic lifestyles. So there may be some people who are in goodness, but who are in goodness means that their remaining lifestyle, if we see, that lifestyle is largely a pure lifestyle. Because people, if there are many people in this world who follow to a large extent the, in some ways, the regulative principles of life which are given in the scriptures. So, no meat eating, no intoxicating, no gambling, no illicit sex. They follow these principles, and while following these principles, they also do other things. Other things means they also may have some conception of religion and follow some sort of religion. So, these kind of people who have some sense of regulation, even if that sense of regulation may not be tamasic, it may not be a very transcendental sense of regulation, but there is some sense of regulation, they are relatively in goodness, and people are completely unregulated. Say a person is drinking and smoking and maybe doing all sorts of terrible things, that person may be, his lifestyle may be in ignorance overall, if we see. But at the same time, it may well be that the people who are in having a lifestyle in ignorance overall may have some characteristics which may resemble the characteristics of those who are in goodness. That means some people may have intellectual brilliance. And normally we would associate intellectual brilliance with goodness. And normally we associate, say, drinking or smoking with ignorance. Yet we will see that sometimes there may be some researchers who may be chain smoker. Suppose a chain smoker but is a champion researcher. So how do we understand this? We have to understand that the influence of the mode is complex. And one aspect of the modes may be influenced, or may be influencing one aspect of a person. But another aspect of that person may not be influenced by the same mode. So a person may have a drinking habit, and that drinking habit or that drinking addiction is very dangerous. And in general, that will not only put a person in ignorance at that time, when a person is drunk, but the effect of that ignorance will spread further and further to other people also. So if one doesn't want this to happen, then one should be able to practice spiritual life in a serious way by which one can avoid the influence of the lower modes, come to goodness and ultimately transcend. So here when Krishna talks about the sarvarthan viparitamsha, so actually some people may have a lifestyle in goodness in terms of overall they have some regulated habit, they have cleanliness, they have some level of religious culture and practice in their lives. They definitely not transcendental, but they are practicing spiritual life in their own way. And while they are trying to practice spiritual life, at that time, according to their level, in their situation, whatever they do, that is to be appreciated. But at the same time, if a person has intellectual tendencies but has a tamasic lifestyle, or a person has a sattvic lifestyle but has one tamasic habit within that, so you don't have to whitewash people for whatever they are. We can't say that just because somebody is a devotee, that means automatically the person is freed from the influence of the modes. No, not at all. We have, by our devotion, we want to free ourselves from the influence of the modes. It's not that we are automatically freed. We will become freed by steady practice. So this is in the ignorance, that sarvarthan viparitamsha, in all ways. One is sarvarthan viparitamsha. So we discussed the sarvartha and viparitamsha. These three levels you discussed earlier in Aishwarya class. To be in ignorance is bad. So for example, to not know that God exists, that is a form of ignorance. To be in ignorance and to claim to be in knowledge is worse. Worse means that here somebody claims that consciousness comes from matter. or that matter is all that exists and everything else is epiphenomena. Consciousness is just something which has emerged from matter. So this is not proven, but one claims that this is the scientific reality. This is the intellectually respectable notion. And then that is ignorance and to claim to be knowledge. And worse is to be in ignorance, to claim to be in knowledge, and to claim that knowledge is ignorance is worst. So for example, religion is the opium of the masses, or God is a crutch for the weak-minded. So all this is ignorance, knowledge and ignorance. And we know in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the description of Vena. Vena was such a sinful king that she was a, what we could say in today's language, a terrorist ruler. I suppose a terrible terrorist becomes a ruler, and the terrorist goes on and plunders others. So like that, Vena was plundering everyone during his kingdom. And so much so that he actually stopped the worship of the Supreme Lord and instead told the Brahmins that all of you have to worship me because I am the representative of the Supreme Lord and I am the Supreme Lord for all practical purposes. And he went this way, he sarvarthan viparitamishcha. The idea of Naradev, there is a concept of Naradev. Naradev means the king is considered to be God in human form. Naradev, the king is considered to be God in human form. That means that the king is God. Is the king God? No, the idea is that we need representatives who will remind us of God and who will guide us to worship God properly. King is meant to be such as represented. But the king is meant to be, a king is not meant to be a replacement for God, but the king is meant to be a root to God. So root means R-O-U-T-E, root is the pathway. The king is meant to be the root to God. The king is not meant to be considered to be a replacement to God. Not at all. If that means the guru can't say that I am God and you just worship me, there's no need to worship God. That is a completely wrong understanding. So Vena had that understanding and he tried to chastise the Brahmanas also, saying that you are being unchaste by not worshipping me. The Brahmana just Brahmana just says one humkar and Vena was reduced to ashes. There is a similar story in the Mahabharata also after Yudhishthira Maharaj was coronated. So at that time there was a Rakshasa Charvaka who came in the dress of a Brahmin and he said that, oh Yudhishthira, I have been elected to speak on behalf of all the Brahmins over here and they have decided that because of your greed for the kingdom, so many thousands and thousands and thousands of people have been killed. So many women have become widowed. So many children have become like orphans. And for all this bloodshed and destruction and death, it is your greed that is responsible. Therefore, because you are so greedy, you don't deserve to be the king. Get out and go to the forest. So at that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj was so shocked to hear these words. And those words coming from a venerable Brahmana. So he just folds his hands. And he says, oh venerable one, I will do as what you say. And immediately the other Brahmins start making uproar. He says, no, we have not selected him as a Brahmin. We have not selected him as a representative of our group. And we don't believe that this is to be opposed at all. What you have done is to uphold Brahminical culture. And as these Brahmins look at this particular make-do Brahmin, this Rakshasa, who had impersonated as a Brahmin, then they just looked upon him and just by the power of that glance and the that they did, this offender fell dead. So here what we see is that the Brahmins had the capacity to restore things to order if things went too much out of order. They gave freedom to the king to rule in a responsible way. But when the king started using the powers and privileges not to glorify the Supreme Lord but to direct whatever worship was meant towards the Supreme Lord to himself and to make himself a replacement object of worship as compared to Devatas, that is disastrous and that has to be corrected. And the way sometimes When nothing else works, then the way to correct it is by shock treatment. So the Brahmanas, when they curse, they are not cruel. They, to whoever they are cursing, they are also desiring the ultimate welfare of that person. And for understanding what is their ultimate welfare and how their ultimate welfare is to be achieved, what one requires is to recognize that there is a correct pathway to be followed. So when there's proper understanding, then even from ignorance one can go to transcendence. But when doesn't have proper understanding, sarvarthan viparitamsya, then one may be situated in a particular mode, but one will go downwards, ultimately destruction. So let's move forward. So after discussing buddhi, now Krishna goes to dhriti. So let's look at dhriti. Dhityayaya dharyate mana pranendriya kriya yogena vyabhicharinya dhriti saparth satviki. So dhityayaya dharyate. So dhriti, that dhriti by which dharyate, one accepts or one sustains, one perseveres in one's acceptance. So, manha pranendriya kriya yogena vibhicharenya. So, by which one keeps the kriya, the actions, and manha pranendriya. So, the senses, the life air, the mind and the activities, one keeps them situated in yoga. And what kind of yoga? Avibhicharenya. Unbreakable yoga. That is dhruti in the mode of goodness. So dhruti in the mode of goodness essentially means that one recognizes oneself to be situated properly, and one recognizes that one has to persevere to get the results. So there are significant words in this as yogena vyabhicharinya. So Krishna has used the word avyabhicharini earlier also. He has used it while talking about how to transcend the modes in 14.26. So avyabhicharena bhakti yogena. So when one practices unbreakable devotional service, then one transcends the modes. That is talking about how to transcend the modes using the process of bhakti. Now, of course, the process of bhakti is not just meant to be used to attain transcendence, but the process of bhakti is meant to be taken shelter of, so that even in transcendence one keep practicing bhakti. And that is indicated in 18.54, where Krishna says, once one comes to the Brahman platform, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, Nishochati Nakangshati Samah Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mat Bhaktim Labhate Param. So Krishna in 14.26 is saying that by practicing unbreakable bhakti, one will come to transcendence. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. And then Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. When one is situated in Brahma Bhuta, then Krishna says, Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One will get Parabhakti. So that means, Avyabhichari Bhakti may not necessarily always be Parabhakti. Para means transcendental or pure or spiritual devotion. So Avyabhicharini means uninterrupted. Not unfaithful, means faithful, or rather than not faithless. So, faithful devotion, when one keeps practicing steadily, then by that faithful practice, one can become elevated. So, yogena vibhicharenya. So, Krishna is saying that, you know, many people can say, I chant Hare Krishna. So, to chant Hare Krishna one or two days, one or two rounds, that is not very difficult. But to chant 16 rounds every day, year after year, for maybe several decades, that is not easy. So to practice yoga as we know means to connect ourselves to spiritual reality. Avyabhicharanya, in a way that is not easy to shake. That is requires a challenge. And that challenge has to be accepted. And a dhruti, the determination that enables us to accept such a challenge, that determination is in the mode of goodness. Let's look at determination in the mode of passion. Now. यह तु धर्म कामार्थान धृत्याधारिते अर्जुन प्रसंगेन फलाकांक्षी धृतेसा पार्थ राजसी। यात धर्म कामार्थान, दैट मीन्स फॉर द सेक ऑफ धर्म अर्थ काम। एज वी डिस्कस अर्लियर दैट अमंग दिस फोर पुरुषार्थ धर्म अर्थ काम मोक्ष, मोस्ट पीपल परस्यू धर्म अर्थ काम। Of course, modern times people pursue simply artha and kama and don't bother much about dharma. But most people who have some dharmic inclination, their inclination is not so much towards moksha. What they want is not liberation, but what they want is material prosperity. At the same time, they don't want to become adharmic while pursuing material prosperity. So, yaya. धर्म कामार्थान धृत्याधारिते अर्जुन प्रसंगेन फलाकांक्षी। सो व्हेन वन प्रैक्टिसेस धर्मार्थ धर्म कामार्थान, दैट मीन्स वन प्रैक्टिसेस स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ और अदर वन प्रैक्टिसेस व्हाटएवर वन इज डूइंग, वन परसीवियर्स इन दैट फॉर द सेक ऑफ धर्मार्थ काम बेसिकली, then that is determination in the mode of passion. So Krishna has called about determination which leads to yoga. Now yoga is refers to connecting with the transcendental reality, whereas here Krishna is talking about passion also, not in terms of sinful activities, although sometimes passion may involve sinful activities, but it's not that everything passion that has to necessarily be sinful. No, if this passion activities are done within the framework of dharma, then they are not considered to be sinful. So dharma artha kama moksha, this is the purusharthas. So yatu dharma kama arthan rutya dharayate arjuna rutya dharayate, that when one is accepts for this particular purpose prasangena phalakankshi, prasanga means strong attachment, phalakankshi, one is very obsessed with getting the result. Rutisa partha Rajasi, this is Rajasi, this is in the mode of passion. So here we'll see that there are many people who do particular vratas, say Shravan vrata some people do, but that is dharma kama artha. They think I will do this vrata and by which I will get some kind of sense gratification which I have not got earlier, and that is not considered a very elevated form of religion. That is considered to be dhriti, determination in the mode of passion. Now let's look at determination in the mode of ignorance. Ya swapnam bhayam shokam vishadam madamevacha navimunchati durmedha dhritisa partha tamasi. Ya swapnam bhayam shokam. So Krishna is giving various characteristics over here. So what are the characteristics? Swapnam. Swapnam is lamenting. It's dreaming. So, yaya swapnam bhayam shokam. So, actually, here what does swapna represent? Swapna refers to excessive sleeping. There are different kinds of sleep also. And in general, the idea is that if one is extremely lazy, then that indicates that officially leads even to a person sleeping more than necessary. And a person sleeps more than necessary, that also has its consequences in terms of further effect of the mode of ignorance. And naturally, if one sleeps more, it's quite likely that person will get dreams also more. Although there may be some people who sleep a lot and don't get any dreams, or at least don't remember any dreams if they have got any also. And then we some people who sleep less, and as soon as they sleep, they get dreams. So here the emphasis is on, a swapna refers to a state, or the emphasis when using the word swapna is more of a mentality in which is indicative of disconnection from reality. Disconnection from reality means just as when a person is in dream, that person is largely disconnected from reality. So similarly, when a person is excessively lazy, sleepy, That also means that the person is disconnected from reality. So, yaya swapnam bhayam shokam. Swapnam bhayam. So, fear is, although Krishna is earlier in the same section, while talking in 18.30, he is talking bhayam cha bhayam eva cha. That there are certain things which should be feared and certain things which should not be feared. But here, so things which are to be feared, they are talked about rarely, and the when bhaya is used in a positive sense, it can be easily made out from the context itself. So when Krishna says, mad bhayad bhati vyatoyam, that because of fear of me, the wind moves. Now that fear is not like the terror conduced by terrorists. That fear is more of a harmonization stimulated by respect. So, Indra, Chandra, Vayu, Agni, Surya, they all understand that the Supreme Lord is our greatest well-wisher and He has a plan for the whole universe, and we are meant to play our plan in this cosmic master plan. We are meant to play our part, and I should play my part. The fact that I have been given a part itself indicates that there is some basic level of trust, and then I can either live up to that trust or I can betray that trust. So bhayam means when there is excessive, so there is this bhaya is healthy bhaya, where that bhaya which protects one from doing those things which are undesirable. But in contrast to that, there is baseless fear, as they use the word fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real, that is F-E-A-R, fear. So the idea is that sometimes if we look at our life, most of the anxieties that we have, most of the fears that we go through right now, actually they don't matter after a short while. Why don't they matter? Because they are not so consequential. They matter for a short time, afterward they don't matter so much. So similarly, when we practice spiritual life, everything doesn't matter all the time. In our day-to-day lives, if one is constantly fearful of things, and stress, anxiety, hypertension, these are such serious problems in life. And these problems exist because people worry about things which they need not worry about. So too much fear, bhaya, is a sign of tamoguna. Now, as devotees, we should be warriors, not worriers. You know, warriors. Warriors means by taking Krishna's assistance, we fight. Okay, when problems come, we deal with the problems. Warrior means you sit and think. And actually, we're not even thinking productively. We are thinking aimlessly. And so we should be warriors. So here it is. Visha yaya swapnam bhayam shokam. So, swapna bhaya shoka. Actually, Krishna is talking about largely the things which waste away our mental energy. So when one indulges in these things, then that dhriti is in the mode of ignorance. Now this is interesting, that why would one, now if somebody is, say, fearful, now you may wonder, is there a determination required to be fearful? We say determination is required to be courageous. What determination is required to be fearful? Actually, everything requires determination. Fear itself is not a comforting emotion. Fear is a disconcerting, distressing, even devastating emotion. But somehow we just hold on to that fear for a long, long time, unnecessarily, inordinately. And that's because of not understanding what should be our priority in life. So, if you don't have a proper understanding of who I am and what I should be pursuing in life, then small things become too important. And when those small things appear threatened or appear to be endangered, then we feel as if a great danger has come upon me only. Yaya swapnam bhayam shokam. So shoka, we have discussed about shoka in earlier also. Kunti Krishna is talking about karta. So vishadi dirgha sutra, so therefore we discuss shoka, lamentation. Krishna uses the word maashuchaha in 18.66, and he earlier also uses it in a few other places. Do not lament. So shoka is indicating of a mentality of a shudra. Shochati iti shudra, it is sometimes said, that शोचति, वन हु लैमेंट्स द शूद्र, स्वप्नम भयम शोकम, वाय शोक इज कंसिडर्ड टू बी एन अनडिजायरेबल इमोशन तामसिक, बिकॉज एक्चुअली इवन शो टू इंडल्ज इन शोक समटाइम्स व्हेन अ पर्सन पासेस अवे, से एट दैट टाइम द रिलेटिव्स एंड लव्ड वंस may just stay in a daze at the loss of that person, and that loss may go on for weeks, months, years, sometimes decades, and one stays in, why did I lose that person. Now yes, if I lost somebody, maybe a loved one, a close relative, a family member, that's a very painful loss, no doubt about it. But to keep living in pain is more painful than is necessary. Yes, we had pain, and where there's love, then naturally grief is there. And that grief, there's a difference between grieving and there is lamenting. Lamenting largely means one never comes out of it, one never tries to learn from it, one never tries to grow from it. So grieving is not bad, but lamenting is undesirable. And that is characteristic of the mode of ignorance. It is determination in the mode of ignorance, because although everybody is telling, come out of this, don't get caught up in this gloomy mindset, come out, grow up now. Yes, life has to go on. Sometimes we just get a raw, life gives us a raw deal. What can we do at that time? Just accept the deal and move forward with whatever next life may bring. Vishadam, madame vacha, vishada and mother. So vishada refers to moroseness. So we discussed earlier about Vishadi Dirga Sutricha. Madam means intoxication or illusion. So Madam Eva Cha Vishadi Tushadam Madam Eva Cha Nunchit Durmedha Durmedha. So Krishna has already used the word Sumedha, good intelligence. So Durmedha is bad intelligence. Na Vimunchati Durmedha Rutisa Parth Tamasi. So one, that intelligence which doesn't give up these things, although they are not worth holding at all, but one keeps holding on to them, imagining them to be a great treasure. So that determination is in the mode of ignorance. Na vimunchati durmedha ruti saparth tamasi. So sometimes some people sleep instead of, Prabhupada would say, sa sleep is enough. Some people may need more, a little bit. Sometimes some people sleep for 12 hours, 15 hours. And when they sleep, you know, everybody will, come on, get up, don't waste time, don't waste your life like this sleeping. But don't disturb me. Actually, it is quite mortifying when others consider us to be lazy or irresponsible or they look down upon us in any way. Especially when we are actually the guilty party and we have faults in ourselves. So at that time, when others look down upon us, so it's quite mortifying, and to persevere is not easy. Because sometimes some people are lazy and they continue to be lazy no matter how many disincentives are given for them. Incentive is given to make a person do something. Disincentive is given to prevent a person from doing something. So, but still they continue to be lazy. So that is actually indicative of determination, but it's a perverse determination, where one wants to hold on to the very thing which is causing one trouble and bringing derision in the eyes of others. So, for example, there is addiction. So, when a person gets addicted to something, nobody starts out desiring to be an addict. Nobody, when they start smoking for the first time or drinking for the first time, at that time nobody thinks that I'm an addict or I'm going to be an addict. No, that person starts off just thinking a little bit I will enjoy, but from that little bit of enjoyment, what happens is, one gets caught more, and then that addiction becomes like something which just catches a person in the noose, and when the person is caught with the noose like that, it's very difficult to get out. So the person just feels that I am possessed and pursued. Possessed means internally there's a craving, a demoniac craving. I want to drink more, and externally it feels one is being pursued. Pursued means wherever one goes, one just sees that, okay, here there's a restaurant, here there is this. And this way people's minds are ablaze, inflamed and tormented by unfulfilled desires. And that causes them so much trouble. So all this is actually in determination in the mode of ignorance. So in such determination in the mode of ignorance, basically Swapnam, Yajaya Swapnam, Bhayam Shokam, Vishadam Madamevacha. So Krishna gives five characters over there. Na Vimunjati Durmedha. So these are all negative qualities, and normally we don't associate negative qualities with determination. But when one continues in these negative qualities, even when one should be giving them up, because they are undesirable, then that is called as determination in the mode of ignorance. So we could use, as we had discussed in our earlier class, if you want to bring out the negativity that is latent in the concept of determination in ignorance, we can use other words which bring out that negativity. So, ya swapnam bhayam shokam vishadam madamevacha na vimunchati durmedha. Durmedha. Krishna is very strong in using the word over here. Their intelligence is completely misdirected. So, this determination is actually obstinacy. It is stubbornness. It is insolence. Where one is guided, told, encouraged to do the right thing, and yet one does the wrong thing. And it is not just, things don't just refer to external actions that we do or external possessions that we acquire. Here things refers to the kind of mindsets that we cultivate also. So mindset is too dreamy, a mindset is too gloomy. These sort of mindsets are indicative of the mode of ignorance. And the intelligence that is there in such a person is also in the mode of ignorance. And it's very difficult to overcome such an intelligence unless one cultivates the mode of cultivates pure devotional service and rises to Krishna consciousness by going through the lower modes. So at this stage, if some of us may find that we do have characteristics of intelligence in the mode of ignorance, then what do? We use our intelligence also. Okay, now I'm acting impulsively. I'm acting as if in tamoguna now. We can try to do introspection like that, but more importantly, we focus on trying to cultivate devotion and trying to please Krishna. And to the extent we try to please Krishna, our current intelligence may be in sattva, rajas, tamas. But if we try to please Krishna, then Krishna assures in 10.10, Tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. I will give you the intelligence by which you can come back to me. So, in our next class, we will discuss about sukha in the three modes, and then we will move on to how Varnashram system enables a person to rise from karma yoga to Jnana Yoga to Bhakti Yoga. Thank you. Hare Krishna.